Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome. This is Luke Warren, our official music. Into the tippy zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Yes, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, with confidence, with control, and with awareness. And that is what Tippy Talk is all about. And today we have a very special guest. We have Regina Buscemi, who is very special for a lot of reasons, but I will tell you what happened first. I have been walking in the streets of Brooklyn for the past almost 3 years, and I always find a patch of green, whether it's in the park or by the ocean, and I have never talked to anyone past good morning, good afternoon, because I'm just not interested. When I walk, I'm focused on walking, on meditating, on thinking what I'm going to do for that day. But when things are meant to happen, they just unfold easily. And without even thinking and without planning, they just evolve into things that are better, much better than when we plan. So here I was taking a walk in Marine Park, which happens all the time for me. I walk there all the time. And I see somebody giving out little cute baskets, which, again, usually I'm not interested in baskets at that hour. I'm not interested in anybody giving out anything. I'm just interested in walking. But for some reason, that caught my attention, and I walked over. And I saw that it was a woman giving out baskets for dog treats, and I don't even have a dog, so I don't even know why I went further than that, further than saying hello, but I did. And without thinking, everything evolved, and all of a sudden, Regina appeared right here on the show. So that just shows you what happens when you stop planning and you start allowing things to come into your life and just let it go almost magically. So, Regina, welcome so much to Tippy Talk, and I'm so happy to have you here because I think you have a fascinating story.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for that story. I didn't realize It was an aha moment for you.
Yeah, it happens when you least expect it. It happens
yes.
when you don't really think you... I mean, I always expect something great to happen, but I don't expect it to happen the way it always happens.
Right.
And so,
right.
And so, as it turns out, I just said hello, and the next thing I know, I find out that you really have a very inspirational and very fantastic story that people can learn from that, and people can learn that a lot of times when things seem like they happen and they're bad things, really they're not such bad things at all.
That's very true. That's very true.
Because sometimes it's a turning point and it changes everything in your life and it ends up being the best thing that ever happens to you. For example, with me, being abused by my mother's monster husband was horrible when it happened, but if it didn't happen, I would be a completely different person in a completely different life that I really don't like right now.
Right.
So you
right.
never know. So you never know. And so
yes,
you've
you
been married
know
for...
Yes, you never know what's going to open you up. Yeah, it's true.
Exactly, exactly. So you've been, you're really in a huge minority because you've been married for over 30 years, which automatically puts you in a very, very small percentile in the United States.
Very true.
Yeah, and...
Yes, I've been married for 39 years. I have 3 children, but they're all adults.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well-rounded, well-educated, doing well
mm-hmm.
for themselves.
Sounds like you're very proud of them. I think
am.
I can do a whole show on your 39 years of marriage, just that in itself.
Probably, yes. Yes, I have a lot of in-law stories, too. Definitely keep you amused.
Absolutely, absolutely. And children, raising children, I'm sure that has a lot. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about something else that happened to you that really took your life in a totally different direction. And it's something that's happening to a lot of people right now is when they find themselves out of a job. But before
yes.
we go there, we just want to, another thing that I see right laced through your story is that Brooklyn really means a lot to you, that you've been here. Were you born in Brooklyn?
Yes, I was. My mother was born in Brooklyn, my father. Yes.
So you have very deep roots in Brooklyn. So that seems to be a really big part of your life. It actually is even part of your business name. That's how big
yes.
Brooklyn means to you. I don't have to ask you this, but do you love Brooklyn?
Yes, absolutely. There's no place like it in the world, really.
And we're talking
Not
about Brooklyn, New York, everybody.
World, but I've been around, and there really isn't any place like this.
Yes, and everybody, we're talking about Brooklyn, New York, in case you're confused about which Brooklyn we're talking about. It's Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
New York. And in Brooklyn, you went to a Catholic school, a Roman Catholic
yes.
school. Is there a different kind of Catholic school other than Roman Catholic?
Well, there are Methodist churches and Lutheran churches. They're all Christian.
No, but I'm talking about Catholic. When people say
but,
Catholic,
yeah, the Roman Catholics
isn't
were
it
very
automatically,
strict.
It's Roman, right? It's Roman Catholic.
Yes, yes.
Well,
yeah,
I have to tell you,
probably the strictest.
Yeah, yeah. I have to tell you, when I came to Brooklyn, I think it was about 4 years after I came to Brooklyn, I finally felt comfortable speaking English, and I went out on the street, on East 10th Street, and I was looking for friends to play, and the only friends were the ones with the Catholic school uniform, which was very scary for me to talk to them because, to me, they were like from another planet. But those
mm-hmm.
were my first friends on the streets of Brooklyn.
That's funny.
The Catholic girls, yeah. And you say
and
that
where,
that experience
where are you
of
from? East 10th Street and where?
East 10 and Kings Highway.
So that could very well have been the school that I went to. St. Brendan's is on Avenue O and East 12th Street.
Elementary school?
Yes, and the high school was there also.
Oh, you know, it might be. You might have been in the same school as my friends. We'll have
yep.
to talk about
That's funny. That's another story. Another show.
Another story. See, we're expanding our horizon here. Absolutely. But you say something very interesting, that the experience of going to Catholic school for 12 years taught you to send your children to public school. Can
yes.
you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, when you are handed a book in a religion class and told to study the question and the answer, it doesn't allow you to use your own brain. You know, you
mm-hmm.
anybody can memorize. That's not teaching someone. That's not teaching someone anything. So, you know, to discuss religion, we were never encouraged to read the Bible. There was just no, the religion class was memorizing their catechism. And I just found it so stifling. And I didn't want that for my children. I wanted my children to be able to think. There, you know, there isn't always somebody holding your hand. You need to learn how to think.
Right, right. So that makes sense. So you wanted them to have more than what you have, than just monkey see, monkey do type of education.
Yeah, yes. Our parents, I mean, I'm sure my parents thought they were doing the right thing. It was a safe school. It was right around the corner from the house. It made sense for them. But as a student, now becoming a parent, that wasn't what I wanted for my children. I wanted them to be in touch with different types of people, to learn how to get along with different types of people, and to know how to think and how to make the correct decision.
Right, and at the end of the day, you didn't turn out so bad, so maybe it wasn't such a bad school after all.
I had wonderful parents, I really did. They taught by example, and that is what I did with my children also. You teach by example. They don't care what you tell them. They care what you're doing.
Exactly. And raising kids is tough. It's a tough job. You're always second-guessing yourself. You're always trying new things. You want to do better than what your parents do, but there are things you could have done better. There are things you should have done and you didn't do. There are things, you know, so there's so many different elements of raising children, and that's a full-time job. So
yes.
You had a full-time job raising children, and then you also worked, and you try to earn some, help your husband work to work also. And then you go through all kinds of trials and tribulations, but at the end of the day, you end up without a job.
Exactly.
Was that your turning point when that happened?
Yes, that was a big turning point. That was, but, you know, and I was devastated at the time. I was collecting unemployment, and it wasn't helping us pay the bills. And and it was devastating at the time. But that's how this became, my bite this business became a reality.
So let me give you the name of the business, everybody. The name of the business is Homemade Dog Treats from Brooklyn. Is that what it is? Dog
it's
treats.
Actually Bite This. Bite This is the name of it.
Oh, Bite This.
It's a very Brooklyn name.
Bite This definitely sounds Brooklyn, I have to say.
It definitely does sound Brooklyn, yeah. And then it's, you know, the body, after that it says All Natural Dog Treats Homemade in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, so Bite This is dog treats, naturally made, homemade, made in Brooklyn, and to top it all off, it's natural, which is really not that easy to find dog treats with that kind of ingredients. So did you always have a dog, or how did that happen that you all of a sudden came to make dog treats?
Well, I've always loved dogs. I had a dog when a couple of dogs as I was growing up. And then after I got married, I went through a few dogs, but unfortunately, they don't live that long. When I found myself unemployed, I did not have a dog, but my neighbor's sister passed away, and my husband and I went to the wake, and it turned out that she had a dog, and her children left the house. The woman died in her sleep, and her children called whoever they had to call, and they picked up the body, and the kids left the house and they forgot about the dog.
Oh, my God.
So at the wake, somebody said to the kids, who took the dog? And they went, oh, my God, the dog. So the dog had been alone for 3 days with no food,
oh
no water.
God.
Nobody took her out. So my husband and I were standing there. And yes, thank God. I said, you know, just bring her to my house until you bury your sister and figure out what you have to do. Because it was this was no time for them to try to figure out what to do with the dog.
Right.
So I took the dog and I bought healthy food and I bought, you know, what I needed to buy. And I was looking at the ingredients in treats. And I was on a budget now because I was collecting unemployment.
Right.
I'm looking at the ingredients on the treats in the pet store and there were things I couldn't pronounce. And I said, you know what, this is silly. I'm not going to buy this. I'm going to go home and Google a dog treat recipe and just make my own. How difficult could it be?
Right.
And that's how I started. Started with just one or two recipes. My dog loved them. My daughter has two dogs. She lives in, I have a three-family house. There are five dogs in this house.
Wow.
And all the dogs loved these treats. Then I found myself giving them away and making them every day because I was giving so many away. And that's how the business started.
Ah, so you just kind of innocently try to give something halfway decent to a dog that wasn't even yours, and the next thing you know, everybody...
Exactly. And, yeah, meantime, that was 3.5 years ago. I still have this dog.
And you still have that dog.
Yeah.
And the dog treats.
Yeah, and the dog treats.
And so you took that dog treat and turned it into Bite Me? Bite It.
Bite This.
Bite This.
Bite This, yeah.
You turned
yeah, that's
into
what I
bite
did.
This.
I wound up, I figured out packaging and, you know, some inexpensive packaging that looked natural. I have a brown paper bag like you would buy cookies in from a bakery with a little window
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my packaging. My
are you
niece,
ready to go
my
to
niece,
Shark? Are you ready to go on Shark Tank?
Am I ready for Shark Tank? No, because then I would have to change the way I do business.
You would. You don't want to do that.
Interesting story, Tippi. I had a couple of retail stores come to me and tell me they wanted to carry my product, but they wanted a very large percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that, you know, I told them that I couldn't do it because I didn't want to have to charge exuberant amounts of money for these treats. And they said to me, well, you know, when we got by from this product and from this company and that company, we can get 60-70% of the profit
mm-hmm.
for doing nothing, for just selling it. And I said, well, I can't do that. And they said to me, well, maybe you should look into your production and see how you can cut costs.
Mm.
And that's where I said, this is it. I'm not doing that. I purposely make these treats at home, one recipe at a time, with a cookie cutter, you know, and I pay
I
attention.
Love that. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I'm not using machines. I have a
mm-hmm.
KitchenAid mixer to help me with the dough, but that's it.
Right.
That's it. I have little
cookie cutters.
I can visualize you
standing in the kitchen.
I put the TV on with my mother's rolling pin, and I sit at the dining room table, and this is how I make my treats. But I have a very specific product, and I don't
want
to compromise my product so that retailers can make money. So
you know,
is that limiting the amount of money that I'm making also, but I don't want to compromise my product.
Yeah, but it actually really explains why a lot of the products we get in stores, if not all of the products we get in stores, are overpriced and under-delivered because of exactly
yes.
what you just described, right?
Yes, yes. Well, because the more I looked into it, the FDA does not regulate dog treats.
Mm-hmm.
They regulate dog food because dog food has to meet a certain nutritional requirements. But
right.
the treats are just a treat. So they can put anything in a dog treat and it's okay. You don't even have to put it on the label. Nobody's checking.
Wow.
Dog treats are up for grabs. So the big companies are bringing in a lot of money and you're feeding your dog garbage. That's the difference between what you buy in Petco and what you make yourself. And you know what? Even if you don't want to buy, I realize my treats are expensive. They're not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy cheaper dog treats, absolutely, in Petco. But you're not going to get a real dog treat. You're not going to get what I make. And, you know, your peace of mind has to account for something. It has to be worth something.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in your dog treat, you're saying that there aren't that many outlets to get it. Basically, the only way to get it is from you.
Yes. I do fundraising.
I like
so
that.
Somebody
you have a monopoly.
Well, you know what? You don't have to buy them from me. You can Google recipes and make your own. It was, you know.
Yeah, but if I don't want to make my own and I work full time and I have 25 kids, I really have no choice.
Exactly. Exactly.
But sometimes one
I don't
kid
know
makes
that there
me
are,
like 25 kids.
I don't know that there are too many companies. I know there are quite a few dog bakeries, but I don't know if they use ingredients that are as good as the ingredients that I use. I've seen a lot of bakeries use a lot of sugar and white flour. I use whole wheat flour. I've seen bakeries put things in their treats that I wouldn't use. Carob chips, because dogs can't have chocolate. Well, what do they need carob for? Carrots
exactly.
are sweet. Sweet potatoes are sweet.
They don't,
and they have nutritional value.
Right. So they don't really need that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something, you know, I buy chocolate for myself. But if you're worried about your dogs, you know, dogs only live, how long do they live? 10, 15 years? You can't be filling them up with garbage and expect them to live a healthy 15 years. It's not going to happen.
Well, you know, my daughter's dog is diabetic. I think her boyfriend gives him shots every day.
Is that right?
Shots every day, yeah. And I wonder, I think he's on a restricted diet. So would somebody like that be able to buy the treats, or does it have too much sugar in it?
My treats, there are some that don't have any sugar at all. The ones that I use honey in one of them. I had a little bit of brown sugar in another one, but that's it. The others don't have any sugar. I do use sweet potatoes, which might be not be good for a diabetic dog. But my chicken jerky is 100% white meat chicken.
Mm.
I just dehydrate it. I cut it all up. I take all the fat off, and I cut it into strips and dehydrate it. There's nothing on it. There's no preservatives. There's nothing on it. It's just chicken. The dogs love it.
It actually sounds to me, when you describe what you do, that you're loving what you're doing, that you enjoy getting up every day and doing this and working the business and giving to people, and that it gives you pleasure. Am I correct?
No question. Absolutely no question.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely comes through. Definitely comes through in your voice. And so is there anything more rewarding in life than to get up and do something that you enjoy doing every day and, as a bonus, make money doing it?
Yes, and I get to stay home every day. Well, not every
day.
I do go out marketing, but, yeah. But I can even take my dog with me when I go out to dog parks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would say you live the life.
I think so. So I went from that devastating place of not having a job and not knowing what I was going to do to finding my way.
To following your passion and finding your way. And again, it's not something that you set up at night and planned. It's something that you actually kind of evolved and you fell into it. Just like the way I met you, it evolved. I fell into it. It happened to come my way, and I opened that door, and it just happened. It wasn't anything that you had to struggle to figure out. What do I want to do? How do I want to do it? You know, all that stuff at all.
Right.
It's natural.
Right.
You love it. You share it. Mm-hmm. You love sharing it with people. I think it's a good thing for dogs also, because obviously they're either going to eat this or they're going to eat junk. Not that there is no other treats on this planet other than Brooklyn. I'm sure there is. But not very many homemade stuff. Somebody really
not
makes
very
it
many.
Home.
No. But you could make it to be yourself.
You could make it yourself.
When they tell me that they can't afford my treats, I tell them, you know, just Google a couple of recipes and make them yourself. It's not difficult.
Yeah.
It's just time-consuming.
Yeah. But it's so much easier when you make it for them.
I'd rather see their dogs eat that than commercial dog treats. Because, like I said, anything can be in there, and you don't know.
And they don't even have to put it on the ingredients.
They don't have to. And you know what's sad? I don't know if you're familiar with the 5,000 dogs that passed away from eating dog food and dog treats that had ingredients that came from China. Between 2009 and now, there have been so many complaints about dog products that came from China. And there's an investigation going on, but nothing has really been done. And sadly enough, treats can now be made in one of the United States, put together here, but they can be using ingredients that came from China, and that does not have to be put on the label.
Hmm. So you never really know what's in there. Basically,
exactly.
That's what you're saying.
Exactly. And, you know, nothing against China, but... You know,
I don't know. I wouldn't go live in China.
The
not
dyes
from...
that they use are toxic. Oh, you know, the dyes that are on toys are toxic to children.
Right.
They don't have our laws and they don't follow our guidelines. And I'm very wary of buying anything from there.
Yeah.
Anything that's brightly
yeah.
colored. I don't buy toys from there anymore. You know, the children put everything in their mouths.
Yes, they do. Yeah. No, I didn't know they had this kind of catastrophe going on. And really,
yeah.
I don't want to get political, but that's why the next person that we elect as president is so important, because some things really are never going to change if we don't take action.
Yes, we definitely need change. The same old is not is not there for us.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think that's very inspirational what you're doing, and I think it's wonderful that you're doing it, not only because it's a healthy thing for dogs and people love dogs, and dogs give you so much pleasure. You can give back a little bit, but also I think it's because you enjoy doing it. I think that's really the most important thing.
Right, right, right. And
so
there's a lot of love in my product.
Yeah, I chose in your voice, in your attitude, in the way you talk, in the way you treat your people, in the way you market, in the way you do everything, it shows. It comes through. It's just the way it is when you hate. I have one of my wonderful Brooklyn neighbors here. And by the way, I'm trying to really hard to like Brooklyn. So if you know any nice things that I could like about Brooklyn, feel free to share it with me.
Tranquility and walking around and finding green. Have you been to Greenwood Cemetery?
No, but cemetery sounds eerie.
Oh, no. This is the most beautiful cemetery you'll ever see in your life. It's
really?
Well known. Yes. And they have trolley tours. You sit on a little trolley car and they take you around.
Is that in Brooklyn?
There are a lot of famous people. Yes, it's in Brooklyn.
But
it's
have
amazing.
To take me there.
Google
you have
it,
to take
Greenwood
me there.
Cemetery.
Okay, you can take me there. No problem.
Okay.
That sounds really good. All right, see, there you go. I just discovered another green patch with a cemetery. Do the people come, is it dead people or do they come alive sometimes?
No, they're dead. They're dead.
Okay.
But there's there is one man who bought, and I can't remember what his name was. He had a lot of money from Brooklyn. He had a lot of money way back in the 1800s, and he bought a big piece of the cemetery where the lake is.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his family used to go and picnic by this lake all the time. And when he died, he had a mausoleum made for himself, and he told his family, put me in the mausoleum so that I could stay here while you picnic, and I'll be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And his family used to continue, even after he passed, his family continued to picnic by this lake.
Hmm.
I mean,
now I really have to go.
It's a beautiful cemetery. It really is. They have cherry blossom trees, and it's just absolutely magnificent.
You sold me. We're going there. No problem.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So not only do we have dog treats, we have a cemetery to go to. That sounds good. It sounds eerie,
yeah.
But I have to. I'm going to go, and I'm going to report back to you and let you know how my trip to the cemetery went. It isn't exactly something I do every day. I actually went to the cemetery on Sunday. My sister's husband passed away exactly 1 year ago. And so in the Jewish religion, they do a one-year, they call it something, and everybody comes together and prays because they pray for everything, and then they eat. You know, you pray and you eat. That's just the ritual. But it was so sad. It was so sad to see someone really young that passed away. So I did go to the cemetery this week. So I hope the cemetery that we're going to go to is a little bit different than the one that I went to.
Yes, definitely. It's not sad. Well, and you won't know these people, so it's different when you don't know them.
Yeah. Also, it's but it looks like May may be my cemetery month. Cause this
is that right?
Cemetery. Oh,
that's funny.
That is funny. Do they have
there
dog parks over there?
no, not in the cemetery. But there is a statue, and her name is Minerva, and she's up in the highest point in Brooklyn, is in this cemetery. And that's where the statue is. And the statue was put there. It was where the Battle of Brooklyn was in the Revolutionary War. And they put the statue there. And she faces and waves to the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, wow.
Very
historic. See, I grew up in Brooklyn, and I never even knew that.
Very interesting. It's a wonderful place to visit. You know what else is beautiful about Brooklyn? Did you ever walk over the Brooklyn Bridge?
Oh, yeah, I love walking over the Brooklyn Bridge. That's one of my favorite walks.
That's one of those tourist things that people don't do, and I don't know why.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I love it. I just will not recommend to anybody to take a car. You go there, you either walk to the bridge or take a subway or take a bus, but do not take a car. Because I went with a car with my sister, and we kind of drove around for 45 minutes looking for parking and went home. We could have find parking.
And you can always walk one way and take the subway back.
Yeah, exactly. Either that or whatever. There's enough transportation here. Just don't drive. So here you go. We have dog treats. We have a cemetery, and we have the Brooklyn Bridge. Definitely, you have to come to Brooklyn just to experience your dog treats for your dog. And then we can take you to the cemetery without your dog, and then we can walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. And that sounds like a definitely big plan for Brooklyn. So if somebody wants to buy you treats, Regina, where would they have to go?
They can go to my website, which is very easy to remember. It's www.dogtreatsmadeinbrooklyn.com.
Duh, yeah. Dogtreatsmadeinbrooklyn.com. You can't forget that. Regina, I'm going to put a link to that right below here if you're listening on the internet. If you're listening on the phone, which you can by calling in this number, you can actually call this number anytime. I'm live on the air like right now and listen to the broadcast. But if you're not listening live and if you want to go to the archive, then you can just click on that link that you get. If you follow the show, you'll get a link for every show, and then you can listen to it. And right below where you listen to it, you'll see pictures of the dog treats, but right below that, there will be two links. One of them is going to be to this website, and what is the other one for?
The other one is for my my Facebook page.
Okay, awesome. And the other one is for the Facebook page, so you can kind of keep up the news and find out a whole bunch of new things that's going on with the dog treats and also with Brooklyn. And you definitely want to know what's going on in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is the center of the United States. You have to understand that.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Me too. It's got to be the center. So that sounds like really good. And what about if someone does not live in Brooklyn, like my daughter has a dog in California and my other daughter has a bunch of dogs in Oregon? How do they get you dog treats if they want it? Does it make it more expensive?
I do ship. They're not more expensive. They just have to pay for shipping.
So it's a little more expensive because they do have to pay for shipping.
They have to pay for shipping, right. But I guess if they mention Tippy, maybe they'll get a little discount.
Well, I'm going to count on that. So if you mention Tippy, you will get a little discount if you're not in Brooklyn.
Even if you are in Brooklyn, if you're going to come here and pick it up and you mention Tippy, I'll still give you a discount.
That sounds great. That motivates me to tell all my friends about it, too. So if you're listening and you happen to have a dog, even if you're in Australia, feel free to go to that website, dogtreatsmadeinbrooklyn.com, and you can order anything you want. It will be shipped to you. Obviously, in Australia, it's going to cost a little bit more to ship the product, but you still will get a discount just because you heard it on Tippy Talk. If you are in California, which I know most of you listening are in California, feel free to also visit Dog Treats Made in Brooklyn. You've got to try it. You will see that it does make a difference. And I really do believe that what your dog eats makes such a huge difference. You don't want to end up with a dog for the last 2 years of their life suffering from some kind of debilitating disease because they've eaten horrific food the whole life. And food, just as it is important to people, and we will be very soon in the next few episodes be talking to a woman that is very, very dedicated to teaching people how to eat correctly, to heal themselves, and you can eat. You can really get sick from the way you eat, and you can heal yourself from the way you eat. So we will be talking about that. But specifically today, it's about your dog, and it's about your dog health and having home food, wholesome treats to have is something that's such a pleasure, and it's such a nice feeling to know that you don't put a whole bunch of crap, for lack of a better word, inside the treats, that it's going to be
wholesome.
No,
it's all human food, so I really don't even worry about the dogs not liking them. I have a lot of people tell me, you know, my dog is very picky. But all dogs love human food.
Yeah, yeah.
They
well,
just
after,
love
after
it.
You give them those treats, they'll be picky. They won't want anything else.
That could become a problem.
For them.
For them,
but then
yes.
Again, you're not going anywhere, so you can always provide them more treats.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, keeping your dogs regular, talk about staying healthy, keeping your dogs regular is important, too. One of my treats has pumpkin and flaxseed in it, which is excellent, very good for digestion and stomach problems. I have a good friend of mine has two big standard poodles, and she feeds them a raw diet, which scares me a little bit, but a lot of people do that these days. It's all raw meat.
Well, I think one of the things people misunderstand is they think that the dog's digestive system works like a human digestive system. And if raw food is good for the human, because the way our intestines are made, it isn't necessarily – for dogs, it's easier to digest. I don't know. I'm just thinking because I don't know how dog's digestive system works. I haven't really researched that. But I know that humans eating raw food is easier to digest because we have such a long, long intestines and a digestive system that is very complex. For example, animals that eat meat, for them, they actually get more protein out of the meat. They do get the benefits, and they digest it much quicker than we do. So
yes.
It may be
and
not healthy
and
for them.
And their immune systems are able to deal with any type of bacteria that might be in that meat, whereas ours...
Yeah. Yeah,
like
yeah. So don't assume the dog has a body of a person. You have a female animal and you have a male animal, and then you have a dog animal, and it's not the same animal.
Exactly.
Even though,
exactly.
Yeah.
But she looks for things with vegetables because her dogs eat a lot of meat, and she looks for things with vegetables. But they don't like that if she's making vegetables for herself and her husband, and she puts some in the dog's dish. They don't eat it.
They don't like it, and they know what they like. Yeah.
They know what they like. So she buys my treats because they have vegetables in them. One of them is carrots and parsley, the pumpkin and flaxseed, the sweet potatoes. You know, it's things they like, and it keeps them regular. There's another one with peanut butter and oatmeal. So it keeps them regular, and that's what she likes about them.
Yeah, so it's really for anybody that loves their dogs. This is a treat for dogs that they love. So how is your business going? Do you find it more that the people that come to you always come back, or it's growing, or how is it going?
I have, you know what, when I have a good customer, they keep coming back. I have quite a few very dedicated customers. Some of them don't live here. I have one who lives in Maui, one in Florida, two in Ohio. And then, you know, and then my friends and relatives from Brooklyn and the surrounding areas, Long Island, Staten Island. I have quite a few very good customers, and they come back to me all the time. And then I do, like where you saw me in Marine Park, that was a benefit for a dog rescue company. And I do a lot of those, you know, where I'll sell treats and then give the rescue a portion of the sales.
Right, so it's a fundraiser.
So it's a fundraiser, yes. So I find myself not overwhelmed with just keeping up with my regular orders, but when I have something big going on, then I work like a dog just to make sure I have enough.
I like the way you say that. Yes, well, you know what? You're going to give dog treats. You're going to have to work like a dog sometimes. So really, what you're saying is that you really do have to keep your customer base limited because you're only one person and there's only a certain amount of our product that you can produce. Would you consider hiring people to help you do the dog treats if you get a big order?
I actually did have a very big order at one point. And my neighbor next door came in 3 days in a row. It was great. She knocked out so many treats. It was unbelievable. You know,
yeah,
I have
so you
a nice
can do
size
it.
Oven. I have a lot of cookie trays, you know, cookie sheets. I actually got an extra rack for my oven so I can fit three sheets in at one time. And they only bake for 20, 25 minutes. It's the preparation that takes a long time.
So this may not sound like a question that I should ask you, but do you cook for your family too in the same oven?
I do.
So you like to cook?
I love to cook, yes. Yes.
Are you
Italian? Don't forget too, I am Italian.
Of course.
I started the business when I was unemployed and on a budget. So, yes, I cook all the time.
I have a kitchen here. I have a kitchen here that nobody uses. We can use some food here, especially Italian food. Oh, my God, my weakness. So seriously speaking, what would be your advice? Right now, a lot of people are losing their job. A lot of people are really tight in their job, making not enough money to cover their rent, not enough money to cover their needs even, because minimum wage is pathetic. And what would you advise them to do?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, I got lucky in that this dog came into my life. It's not always easy to find something that you really love to do.
But you're saying that basically you would tell them to find something they love to do. It may not be easy, but it doesn't mean they can't do it.
Yeah, because to go, you know, once you find yourself unemployed, it's a reason to stop and think about what you want to do with the rest of your life and how much stress you want to have and how much you can adjust your budget to do without the stress. I worked for law firms, and it wasn't easy. There was a lot of stress in those firms. Secretaries and paralegals really had the whip cracked quite often. So I would be very stressed at work and then come home. And, yes, I had a nice paycheck, but I was very stressed out. So when I had
know,
the
I
opportunity to do so, yeah, it's not always – some of them are wonderful people, but they're – when they're under pressure, they transfer it to you.
Of course. So, but that's in any situation at work. If somebody's paying you and they're under pressure, you're going to be twice as much pressure from them, for sure.
Yes.
And that's being an employee.
So if that's what you want to continue to do, because even after I started making these tweets, I got a job working in a little law firm, and I sat there so stressed out, thinking to myself, this is your own fault, Regina. You should have been home making dog treats. You should have made a business out of it. You're smart enough. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I lost that job, I was happy. I said, okay,
really?
Now I know what I have
to
do.
You celebrated.
Now that was when I knew what I had to do, and I got serious about, you know, becoming a legal business and doing it the right way.
Wow. So you also got unemployment, and you got to open your own business.
And I did this business with no capital at all.
How long ago was it that you started this business?
3 years.
It's been 3 years already, huh?
Almost 3 years. This summer will be the third year.
And you're not thinking at all about stopping ever right now?
No, not for quite a while. My husband has 2 more years before he can retire, so I'll be doing it for at least that long. And I mean, it's not difficult, so why would I stop?
No, I don't think you should stop. I'm just asking if that's what you had planned to do.
No plans to stop. I enjoy what I'm doing.
Right, so why would you want to stop something you enjoy doing? It does not make any sense at all.
No, and then what would my dog eat?
the poor doggy won't have treats anymore. So do you give him only treats, or do you also give him regular food?
Oh, no, he eats dog. She eats dog food also.
Yeah, so the treats are not the primary diet of all she eats.
Correct.
Right, so I don't want people to misunderstand that it's not dog food, it's dog treats.
Right, it's just people food made into treats, right.
Right, right, exactly.
But she's a good girl, and she knows she's a good girl, and she knows what that means. She's looking at me right now. When she goes outside, and I say to her, "You're a good girl," and she goes straight for the where that she knows the jar of treats are. She's
like,
a very
smart girl. Okay, you're talking about me? Feed me. Yes. Yes, you can't just mention me and not do something about it. That's not going to work.
Exactly. Right.
Well, I don't blame her. I wouldn't want you to spend an hour talking about me and not give me anything about it for it. Definitely. It's been really fun talking to you, and I think what you're doing is really wonderful. And I'm really
glad
that you're able to supply the people that do want it, but I'm worried about it exploding and when you have too much demand what you're going to do. But I'm sure you'll cross that bridge when you get there. For now, you're still supplying, so this is your chance to get some dog treats that are homemade and wholesome and don't have any chemicals to give your dog a boost of energy. And basically, really, to give your dog some love in a different way. And I think that's really, really cool that you give people that option. And so if you really want to try it, go to dogtreatsmadeinbrooklyn.com. You can also look for Dog Treats Made in Brooklyn on Facebook and join the Facebook community. And I'm sure that everybody's going to tell you how those dog treats are treating them in their life. And so thank you so much, Regina. We will definitely going to check you out. I'm definitely going to see you on our way to that cemetery. We'll have to make a trip out of it. Not on a rainy day, and it seems to rain a lot in Brooklyn. So it would have to be on a day that it doesn't rain.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us, and
thank you so much. I appreciate this call.
And thank you so much for spending all that time making this wonderful treat that people will enjoy.
Thank you.
And we've come to the end of our time here together on Tippy Talk. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I've been chatting with Regina Buscemi. Does not sound Italian at all. You have been listening to Tippy Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Again, my name is Tippy Felsenstein. And you are listening to Newborn at newborn.com, where you can find their amazingly beautiful music that will definitely get you addicted to it. And once again, Regina, thank you so much.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream.
They are so wonderful.
Rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee.
Follow me out of the sound.
don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is on autopilot, yeah. We all go running, we all cry.